He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey. I think after all these years, I'm finally getting that Corey down. You know, letting it go smooth like you do. Tracy is easier than Corey. But anyway, I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, it sounds good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it.
Over time, things get easier. At least they should. And we're both excited about the events that have gone on in the U.S. Isn't that interesting how that's all sort of panning out? And I'll be interested to see how the future of the human race is affected.
Absolutely. Well, you know, change. Change is good. As they say, change is as good as a rest. So there you have it. So we'll see what happens. I'm pretty stoked to see what happens. And I'm sure that some of the U.S. citizens are elated and others are deflated. So it should be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, so really, at the end of the day, nothing much has changed. I still judge the state of any population by its health. And the Americans, whether they have whoever as president, seems to be irrelevant to their state of health, their state of well-being. You still have massive amounts of obesity, massive amounts of indulgence in junk and crap and fast food. And that doesn't seem to be moving in the right direction, at least in that country. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not any of that improves, which is really what I'd like to see more than any other factor. Health of the people is essential.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so anyway, welcome everyone out there to SNU. He Said, She Said. This is our November 2016 issue. We're winding down to the end of the year, looking forward to a great new future. And I hope everyone out there is doing well. So, Tracy, what's cooking?
What's cooking is curried cabbage. Yummy, curried cabbage. Now, don't turn your nose up until you try it. And this could change the way you think of cabbage. It's a great way to introduce this food into anybody's diet, especially if you like curry. And a lot of people do like curry. This recipe is super duper simple and with few ingredients, and it packs a punch. It's delicious accompaniment to fish, meat, chicken, or just on its own with other vegetables if you like. But cabbage is a great source of calcium. Apparently the outsides, the harder leaves, there's 40% higher calcium than inside, closer to the head of the cabbage. And it's a great source of essential minerals. And one of the minerals it's high in is potassium. So you can get your calcium and potassium out of cabbage. You want to start eating that. So as varieties go, compared to the white and green varieties, the red cabbage contains slightly more calcium. But you can mix them all up. In this particular recipe, you can mix up the white, the green, and the red, or just go with the white or the red or the green, whichever you choose. So what you want to do is get a huge, large head of green cabbage, or like I said, the other color cabbage, and fill up a pan of water, about 6 cups of water. And then you want to add 2 tablespoons of chopped garlic and 2 tablespoons of finely ground ginger. Now make sure these are finely ground. Then you bring that to a boil, add in the cabbage, and let that boil for a bit until the cabbage gets nice and soft. And then you want to add your curried powder, your ground cinnamon. You can add crushed chilies. Now you can add as many crushed chilies as you like, because I know you, Corey, and most people like it super duper spicy. I don't like it super duper spicy. I'm always thinking about feeding the grandkids. So add as much as you like, add a little bit more garlic powder and a tad of sea salt. And then you want to drain that. If there's excess water, drain the excess water. And if you want to drink that excess water, that would be mighty healthy for you too. Or save it and put it in a soup. Never throw anything away. And there you have it. It's just absolutely scrumptious. And it sounds so good. I think I want to make that tonight because I got this cabbage thing going on. I'm really into cabbage these days. But try that. Super simple. And, you know, if you decide you want to add a different spice in there and go a different route, go for it. But it's just so easy. When you cook in the kitchen, you don't have to make complicated foods with 100 different ingredients and then it takes all day to make. Just make super simple food and it's super healthy for you. Super simple, super healthy. And that's all she wrote.
Yeah, well, I want to mention, too, that I love cabbage, preferably in the raw state. Like, I just love coleslaw. And unfortunately, most of the conventional coleslaw recipes are ruined by the gunk that they put on it, including any variety of dead, sterile oils and sugar. So your coleslaw is beautiful and wonderful. And I remember decades ago, literally, learning about vitamin U, which was the cabbage factor. Later on, research would reveal it to be a chemical known as S-methylmethionine. It is related to the process inside the body that's associated with the production of methyl factors and methylation. But cabbage is known to heal ulcers. That is what the vitamin U was about, ulcerative colitis and ulcers and the lining of the gut. And so we used to recommend, and you can still do this, is that you can actually juice raw cabbage, juice it as a healing modality if you have the ulcers. And of course, now we've learned about Helicobacter pylori and that the ulcers that many people thought were caused by stress were actually caused by a bacterium, which was identified. The person that discovered that won a Nobel Prize. So just proving out that as we move forward in time, a lot of what I learned as a youngster in the natural health field was right on the money, and we were scoffed at, we were ridiculed, we were made fun of, and then later on, over time, with continued research, we're vindicated. I just love it. So, of course, cabbage today is just as good as it has ever been, and it's all its vast and many forms, as you have made clear to us with your wonderful recipe.
You were a youngster?
Never.
A youngster? Aw, Corey was a youngster. You were cute when you were a youngster. I bet you didn't eat cabbage when you were a youngster.
Hated it.
Unless you come from a family like Germany or something like that, right?
Turnips, cabbage, all that stuff. I thought I hated it, you know? And then with grandkids now, you can see, I love with little kids because you can see yourself in them and take yourself back to a former time. But kids look at things and they decide in advance they don't like it by how it looks. Or they hear things in their family, like mom or dad saying things about it. And then they decide that they don't like it either. But they have never tried it. And you were always
very careful. Yeah, you have to be very careful when you're eating around children, because if you say I don't like this, then they're not going to like it just because they heard you say it. And we're experiencing that a little bit with our grandkids now. So, you know, I say, Dad, don't say that you don't like it. I mean, keep it to yourself, because they used to eat it all the time. But now that Dad doesn't like it, they don't like it. So I think it's really important to try things. But yes, sometimes the smell can turn you off. And just a little story about the lamb haggis. When we were in Scotland, I really couldn't get past the smell of it. I love lamb. I love liver. Lamb's liver, yeah, I don't know. And everything, the intestines and all of that. But you absolutely adored it and thought you could eat it every night if I could find the raw materials to make it, you said. But yeah, there was a smell there I couldn't get past to eat it. So I really understand that when it comes to kids and food and other people, when they don't like something because of the smell. So cabbage has a smell as well. So, you know, I can see you getting past that. So there you have it. Remember the haggis?
Also the mental aptitude, like, now, with the knowledge in my head, I'll perceive something as being incredibly virtuous in terms of personal benefit to health and wellness or longevity. So I can convince myself in advance of eating it that it's worthwhile eating. And I think that plays a role, too, in whether or not I'm going to actually enjoy it. So,
like our fresh juice you make in the morning that's like burns my mouth out with all the ginger you put in it? You mean like that?
Yes.
I know it's really healthy for me, but holy moly, I'm on fire at 8 a.m.
Yeah, no doubt, huh? Well, at least you can bear it. And of course, great medicine seldom tastes like a birthday cake, but you have to acknowledge the fact that our senses have been destroyed by exposure to concentrated sources of refined food, which never existed originally and still don't have to exist in the home. But unfortunately, they do. So once you develop a taste for concentrated sources of fat and sugar and salt and white flour, which is impossible to find in nature, it's really hard to turn a kid around and get them off that, because it's like a cocaine addiction or an addiction to cigarettes. It's very difficult to move people away because of the pleasure sensation affected by the people who consume this stuff, and then they get onto it, right?
Right.
I don't know anybody with an addiction to cabbage.
Yes.
Who's got an addiction
I've been
to
like
cabbage?
That. All month I've been making coleslaw left, right, and center. I'm going, like, what's wrong with me? I just have this thing. I get into that where I have to have it. I have to have my coleslaw, or I have to have whatever it is I'm into that month. But, yeah, so there you have it. Curried cabbage tonight, honey, with our bison meatloaf. That's what you're getting tonight. So, anyway, get on to it. Let me know how you like it.
Right on. Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. James Chestnut. Dr. Chestnut has been studying human wellness and prevention for over 30 years. And I remember meeting him when we were in Victoria, actually. He holds a Bachelor of Physical Education degree, a Master of Science degree in Exercise Physiology, and a specialization in Neurological Adaptation, a Doctor of Chiropractic degree, and a postgraduate certification in Wellness Lifestyle. And it goes on and on and on, and you can read more about that on our website, his bio. He's quite knowledgeable. But I truly enjoyed his interview. He was right on the money, and he said things that we know already, but it's really nice to put a twist on the way that it's presented. And yes, he's a chiropractor, but he said how he got into that was when he was younger, after a rugby injury, he tried a multitude of different remedies, and he wasn't getting the results he expected. Last but not least, he tried chiropractic, and voila! He got better, and he was born again in the chiropractic world, and he got a degree in chiropractic. And that is what happened to me. When I was younger, I fell on my tailbone in the snow, bang, right down. And my mother took me to a chiropractor, and it healed me. So I've been seeing chiropractors my whole life. But he sounds like a bit of a rebel, which I kind of like, which we are, sort of, kind of, maybe. But he says a healthy lifestyle education in PE classes. So it's not just about chasing the ball or catching the ball. You need to learn about your own physical education, how you move, how you think, how you eat. It's about physical education, and he believes that that's what should be taught in schools in PE classes, which is something that you have mentioned yourself many, many times, right, Corey?
Absolutely. So we're on the same page in that regard. And also I liked his analogy regarding habitat. So as the habitat goes, so go the inhabitants. I mean, it just makes absolute perfect sense. And of course, more so than not, our students keep reminding us, Corey, the information in the course material makes sense. The bottom line is that anything that you are doing in your life should theoretically make sense. Sense relates to logic and reason and the consideration of different options. So if I do this, and then this happens, then if it's good, I'm going to continue doing that. That's just simple, basic common sense.
Well, if the outcome is negligent to your health, then get away from it. But he says that 50% of the entire population, now I don't know if he's talking about the Western world or the whole world, but he says the entire population has a chronic illness in all age groups, but mostly in the youth and mid-age. And so he says, why are we so sick? And his answer is, you don't blame the genes, so what's left is your lifestyle, your stress levels, good, bad, or indifferent, your diet, lack of exercise, and bonding with other human beings, having really solid, healthy relationships. That's really important. I think people overlook that, because I've met people who say, I don't have any friends. And I'm going, well, gee, you know, like, how come? How come you don't have any friends? You must have one. Doesn't mean you have to be around people every single day, all day long. But having a good social circle, like we do here, we have a really fun social circle, like-minded individuals, our own age group, who have grandchildren. They're all professionals, all very good at what they do, and they like to have a good time. And I think that's very healthy, really, really healthy for us as human beings to have a good social network of people.
Well, in health, as an acronym, L is vitamin L, or love. So humans do need to be loved, and we also need to love. Now, with that in mind, we also know that love is a battlefield and that love hurts. So what happens is that through pain and loss of love, people have a tendency to contract or move away from that which they've had negative experiences with, or they sort of formulate general themes that relate to the entire gender, you know, like all men are bad or all women are bad or whatever, as opposed to taking everyone as an individual, which in food and nutrition, you've got to take every single individual food individually. So you just can't blatantly say that I don't like this or I don't like that, because essentially there's so few foods here in North America that people actually eat on a regular basis. You know, we're going to talk about travel. When you travel, you can see the fantastic variety of foods that people have access to in other cultures that we don't even know what they are here. Now, in the same way, there are thousands upon thousands of individuals that will cross your path in your life. And some of them will do you harm and some of them will do you a lot of good. You got to give everyone a chance. But to decide in advance that everyone, everywhere is a certain way, that's very close-minded. And then what happens, I think, is that you're going to end up alone and feeling lonely because you've shut out the potential that's out there based on negative experiences you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what he talked about. Every human being has the potential to be a decathlete. We all do. But we just are not honing in on it. We're not doing what we need to become that. Right? We're doing the opposite. I mean, we're eating the wrong diet. We're living in the wrong area. We're surrounding ourselves with people that create too much drama. Maybe we need to live in a different environment. Well, whatever it may be, we all have that potential. Unless we've been hit by a car or, you know, something traumatic has happened to us in our life, then we can't do that. But we all have that potential, which is really nice to know. And he says, we're all designed to be healthy. We're all designed to be healthy, and the body can heal itself. And there's potential there for everyone. So healthy habits make healthy people. Unhealthy habits make unhealthy people. Pretty basic stuff, don't you think?
Well, let's go to Africa, let's go to South America, let's go to Indonesia, somewhere in the jungle, and have a look at the animals. Now, when you look at the animals, do you see them all limping around? Do you see them going across the river in a deficient form or a functionless form? No, you see all the animals everywhere, they're in their prime state. That's the natural state. And humans are an animal, whether you want to accept that or not. We're a mammal, we're a species, Homo sapiens. And if you understand what it is we are, where we are, and not why we're here. That's kind of a ridiculous endeavor, but more so, we're here. What are we doing? And how do we do what we do? And what is our natural state? So this is huge, because if you actually truly believe and accept this, that your natural, endogenous, internalized natural state is to be well and strong and fit, then you will not accept anything less. And then you'll fight for that freedom to be well your entire life. That's what you and I are doing. And a lot of our students and people that we know, they're fighting for their health. They're fighting against the forces of nature and against people, the naysayers, the bashers, the negative thinkers. They're fighting against that realm of thought. And they're saying, you know what? You're all wrong. The natural state of a human being is to be well and functional for our entire life term.
And that's correct. And I just want to say thank you very much, Dr. James Chestnut. Totally enjoyed your interview.
Right on. So let's get to our hot topic. What's on your mind?
Holy smokes, a hot topic. I got lots of things to talk about. Our European tour trip that we took, the Super Summit, birthdays, Halloween. It was a super duper busy month we had in October.
Well, October is our month. It's the age of reason.
Still recovering from it. Goodness gracious, dearie me. But we did go to the Netherlands and went to Scotland, the Isle of Skye and Edinburgh. And it was absolutely fantastic. And Corey, do you want to talk about Venlo? Venlo is South Netherlands, where we met a couple of our students there. And we did a lecture, Heinz and Remy, and it was wonderful.
It's wonderful to be treated with such charity and generosity in friendship by people who think the same way that you do. These are student graduates moving and shaking their way into life, affecting people the same way that you and I do and many of our students do. So this is what we do. We tour the world and we connect with our student graduates who live all over the world. And we just simply have an appetite for wonder, which is never really satisfied, but you get a little mouthful of it when you travel and you go away. So yeah, went to Venlo, which is a beautiful little place, and it's not quite the same as, say, Rotterdam or the other big cities. It's a smaller town and beautiful place. We had a fantastic experience. I lectured. I met some wonderful people. Of course, Heinz and Remedy's dear friends and their friends and friends of friends. And it's all centered in the gym, training, working out, and health and nutrition. So how can you not have a positive experience when you go somewhere you've never been and then you meet people and they introduce you to others in the same consciousness, and then all of a sudden your world starts to open up? And this is why I love connecting with people when I travel to other places I've never been, because they can shortcut your way to experiences and opportunities that you would never have otherwise experienced because they're residents of that place.
Absolutely. And I really like the Netherlands. It just makes a lot of sense. Like you were talking about being there and the way they do things, the way they operate, makes sense. I lived there in Amsterdam for about a year and a half in the 80s. And yeah, I could live there again. No problemo. But why don't you tell about your little Isle of Skye? That was on your bucket list. And is it off the bucket list now? Or are you going back?
Definitely going back, because I realized that there is an element of it that I need to experience. But I just wanted to go touch the place and reach out and touch someone, as they say. And so, you know, it was a short and sweet 3-day excursion. We were so close. It's what I love about Europe. You know, you're just an hour or 30 minutes away by flight from a vast amount of culture and experience, and it's relatively inexpensive. So we found an airline that skittled us over to Edinburgh, and then we rented a car and drove, which was great. This was my second time recently driving on the left, and I did much better this time. I felt much more confident, had a beautiful car, a nice Mercedes, and it was an automatic. We had GPS. Driving through the Highlands of Scotland was amazing, absolutely stunning. My mouth was open the whole time, just sucking it in. We stopped, we looked, we took it in. It was incredible. But we had a destination in mind. We were going to Skye, where the Dunvegan Castle, the place that my ancestors, the MacLeods, ruled for 500 years. I had to go there once I realized that I was connected to it. And we made it there. We got there. Remember going over the Skye Bridge, and then we made contact, and then we stayed in that small town. Do you remember the name of that small town that we stayed in the first night? Yeah, you see, it becomes a blur. You travel a lot, you go everywhere, and it happens so fast. But anyway, remember waking up that morning, and we had breakfast, and we went out there, and the sun was rising, and we had this absolutely stunning, fantastic view, which was just breathtaking. And what a way to wake up, have breakfast. And then, of course, we jumped in the car and made our way around Skye, and, you know, sheep on the road and these nice little cottage homes. And it's not overpopulated by any means. Skye is, if anything, it's underpopulated. But the environment, the geography, the Cooleen, the lochs, the spaces in between the mountains, the waterfalls. If you're a naturalist out there, if you want to see something that'll blow your mind, go to the Isle of Skye, do some hiking, and just hang out there, because I'm still processing the information from that experience.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, the Highlands of Scotland. And Edinburgh, I had no idea how cool a city that was. That would take a lifetime to go and look through everything, but it was pretty neat, I got to say that. And like I said, we're not leaving this place until you get some haggis down your throat. And you did, and you liked it. Now, like I said, that was lamb haggis, however they say it. But there is beef haggis as well. So maybe that one wouldn't have smelled as funny. But they had neeps and tatties. That was turnips and potatoes, so I ate some of those and a couple of.
Of course, I didn't eat the potatoes. I ate the turnips, but it was the haggis, and I truly did love it. I could have had another portion.
I know you did.
Yeah, I love lamb. You and I both love lamb, so I mean, it's just one step away in either direction. But again, I know that the kidney and the liver and the entrails of an animal are thousands of times superior to the skeletal muscle that we typically only eat here. If you're truly into health and wellness and you study the history of humanity, you'll know that in every society worldwide, like a tiger or an animal like a lion, they will always go for the entrails first because that's where the vitamin and mineral concentration is. That's where the enzymes are. That's where the vast amount of nutritional value is, comparatively speaking, to the limitations of the muscle meat that we're normally, you know, consuming here, and often overcooked and ruined as well, right?
And then, you know, in the UK, they have these full breakfasts in the morning. And so I was eating sausage and eggs for breakfast, which I just do not do, but it just tasted so different. The eggs didn't taste the same. The sausage was delicious because you could see that everything was like grass-fed and just really yummy. So, well, that was nice. I don't do that now, but it sure was nice to have that. Mind you, I wasn't doing working or running to the gym. I was just sitting. So, you know, it was nice. It was wonderful. Right after that, we just turned right around. We got back, jet lagged and all, and the next day we drove a 5-hour trip to Vancouver where you did a presentation at the Superhuman Summit 2016. It was like a TED Talk you did, and they gave you 15 minutes, which you went to half an hour. Corey talked for 15 minutes? I don't think so.
Well, that was a spectacular event. And for all of you who missed it, go to the next one next year because it's going to be an annual event. And Spencer and Fraser Copen are just fabulous producers. They hired professionals. It was, I think, at the, what was it called? The BMO Theater, which is the arts theater in Vancouver. Fantastic venue. You know, it's like a TED Talk. And we did train for this. I rehearsed it and worked on my presentation for many, many hours. I actually did Skype consultations when we were away in Europe with the producers, and they just did a fantastic job. It was a really health conscious event. So the food, they had this lab where you could go in and you had some intravenous therapy. And then we're going to our special guest today. We met there, and for the next few months, we're going to talk to these special guests that we met there who are all health professionals doing their thing at a level of professionalism that is profound. So that was a very good experience. I also want to mention also, just going backtracking a bit, that in the Netherlands, when we were riding the trains across the country, I saw cattle that actually look healthier. You can physically see the difference because when we did our RV tour in the States, we saw thousands and thousands of cattle, you know, in the United States. And you look at their physical bodies and you look at these ones. These cattle look healthy and they're all eating grass. And also I noticed there's no fences to keep the animals from wandering. What they use, like they use everything there, are these canals. They have these like waterways that they use. It's just such a practical application. And then you and I both noticed that the quality of the food and the people were leaner, they're moving. Bicycling is a way of life. It's not a sidebar. It is in advance of cars and walking. People ride bikes there as a way of life. Thousands upon thousands of them everywhere riding bikes with their bike lanes. And the reason it doesn't work in Vancouver and other cities that try it is because the bicycle riders do not have the right of way, which they have in the Netherlands. And it is cost effective. Their bikes are brilliant. They're built like a Mercedes or a BMW. So, you know, you can really see how this thing can be incorporated and utilized if it's done correctly.
Yes, absolutely. So until next time, our next trip, wherever that may be. I guess it's my turn for the bucket list because that was your bucket list. Sicily was my bucket list. Now Isle of Skye was your bucket list. So it's my turn next year. Anyway, that was a great hot topic.
It is. And any time that anyone out there can break away from the routine, and of course, your routine should ideally be wonderful as well, but it does get to be a bit monotonous. Break away, see how the other side lives, as they say. Check it out. What a place, if you like to party, if you want to go to a place that is incredibly tolerant of race, creed, color, it's just unbelievable. You know, you can really have a good time in Amsterdam. And I really enjoyed that part. I mean, I could really see myself spending more time there. And then, of course, when we were there, we said, we've got to bring groups of people with us, our friends, to enjoy this because it was just so wonderful. We discovered new beers, you know, and cannabis there is everywhere and it's free. And it's just, I don't mean free in terms of just getting it for free. I mean, it's just the atmosphere of utilizing whatever it is you want to do in the freedom of that consciousness makes for an entirely different experience compared to here where you have to hide or play these stupid games with cops and robbers and all of that. You know, it's just a better way to live. That was my experience anyway.
Okay.
So what's your final word?
My final word is, of all the books in the world, the best stories are found between the pages of a passport.